It sometimes gets a bad rap because it doesn't give the fullness of information that comes from both Matthew and Luke's gospel. For there is no nativity in Mark's gospel. It starts with Jesus going to the River Jordan to be baptized by John. It ends, the real ending ends with Christ saying to the women who have come to the tomb, "Tell my brothers that I go before them and I will meet them in Galilee." But instead of them going, they run away. In fact, that was such a downer for the early church that the early church commissioned someone else to write a new chapter at the end so that there would be a little bit of a happier ending. Yes, it doesn't have the fullness of information. Mark writes with a very straightforward pen. He does not have the soaring language that exists in a gospel like John's, that soaring language that inspires the imagination. But what Mark does have, unlike the others, is that Jesus goes into situations and exhibits emotions that you and I both have. For in Mark, Jesus gets downright angry, downright frustrated. He cries and he goes off to places alone. And he is so frustrated by his disciples that he doesn't know what to do with them. Yes, all of those emotions that we say, if we could get rid of, we'd be more like Jesus. But Mark has Jesus more like us than the other Gospels. We get to see the very human side. His sorrow, his agony, his pain, his frustration, his anger, more so than any other of the Gospels. And today's Gospel lesson is no different. Jesus decides to go home. He decides to go home and to go into the synagogue and to begin teaching his hometown crowd. Mark in the 6th chapter doesn't say what Jesus is preaching, but we can assume that from all the preaching that he's done beforehand, his message is very similar. Repent, for the kingdom of God has come near. Well, this is new. This is astonishing. This is a brand new message. This is a new way of interpreting God's word. This is a new way of presenting God to the people. And they were amazed at this man's teaching. But more than being amazed at his teaching, they're amazed at him. Because they say, "Is this not the carpenter's son? Are not his brothers with us, James and Joseph and Simon and Judas? And don't his sisters also sometimes come and be with us? Isn't this the little rugrat that we remember playing in the sawdust? And if little girls had pigtails back then, isn't this the Jesus that yanked them every once in a while and got into trouble?" Yes, it seems as if the folks back home don't want this Jesus to be this person that stands before them and presents them a new way of understanding God. They want to remember him as he was in his place, one of them. I don't know about you, but sometimes when I'm at a reunion, I'm around people who want to remember when. Whenever I go to a Bolden family reunion and I have a couple of other male cousins of mine. All three of us grew up in the city. They, before I even get out of the car, they're saying, "Do you remember when we?" Oh, yes, yes. Let's not bring that up. You see, we earlier in when we were young, we went to a reunion at an aunt and uncle's house, and we had a cousin there named Tim, and they lived on a farm, and we were all city boys. And my cousin Tim, he loved the farm and loved being a farmer and all that that entails. He was in high school at this time, and he was raising a calf. This was his 4-H project, and he was a 4-H member. He was a member of the Future Farmers of America, and he was going to show this calf in the county fair, and it was his prize, his baby, really, and it was the most pampered cow you've ever seen in your life. But being city boys and not really understanding what Tim was trying to do with this calf, we decided that we would be cowboys and go into the barn where this calf was, and we would have ourselves a rodeo, and we would ride that calf. And Tim was not happy. And my cousin Tim, when he is angry, he's a fairly scary dude. And part of the reason why I encourage my cousins, don't bring this up, is he is still a pretty scary dude. But I have to say that whenever I'm around my cousins, my first cousins, and even my sisters in somewhat, it's always talking about a pastime. Do you remember when? And there is some pleasure in that. But sometimes, when we remember former times, we don't remember all of it. We idolize the past. We sanitize the past. We put a gold sheen on the past, so much so that when we look at our future, or even when we look at what's happening in the world today, we say, oh my God, we must be living in the end times because things are so bad. Things were so much better back when. Well, after my 20th year high school reunion, I've also decided never to go back. There are people from high school that I am in contact with, the ones that I want to be in contact with, and there are those high school classmates of mine that when they saw me at reunions, they say, "Do you remember when?" And of course, I do. I've been gone for 37, 38 years, and boy, I am trying to forget this, but you keep remembering this. And, you know, there's a reason why I don't live in that community anymore. And if you think I'm going to reveal to you why, you've got another thing coming. But there are those people that whenever you see them will automatically take you back to some other time. And usually it is a time that they have put that golden sheen on. And if you bring them to the present, oftentimes they will say, "It's not like it used to be." You remember when, and they remember longingly back to that past. But the problem with doing that is in the sanitizing of the past. Because the people in the past, when they were living that as the present, used to say, "My God, we must be living in the end of time. Things have gotten so bad. Do you remember when?" Why, I bet you Adam and Eve on that very first day said, "Do you remember when it used to be so wonderful?" The past is not always so golden. And the future is not always so worrisome. And the present, if you give it half a chance, can be full of God's new surprises for us. Jesus, in going back home and proclaiming to them that the kingdom of God is at hand, is trying to give his hometown crew good news. For God is doing something different. God is doing something new with you. And he would go on in preaching in other places and saying, "I am the one who is bringing this about." But those people, you see, they couldn't get past him being the little one playing in the sawdust. We look at our world. We look at the changes and how quickly they come in this day and age, and we think the worst. But if looking backwards is part of our existence, then look backwards with faith and note that those times when hardship and change are faced and confronted by faith and hope, that there is a spark of something new, that there is a way of looking at the present and the future and saying God is doing something new, something good, something wonderful. In saying that the kingdom of God has come near, Jesus is telling people, God loves you and God is coming to you. Don't be afraid, but be full of faith. God gives us that glimpse of his kingdom this day, in bread and wine, in new song and new prayers. God invites you to look at the reality of this life, and instead of looking at it with fear and trembling, instead see it as God's creation and see where God is active. The worth of a hometown prophet is not much if everyone is living in the past. But the news of Christ, the news of God, is like refined gold when we accept it now. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you. Let us continue to unite our voices as we declare our faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth.
I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.